Around the country, people who answer emergency 911 calls are increasingly being trained to give CPR instructions over the phone, but that is not the case in Rhode Island. A 911 call last year about a baby drove that point home. Lynn Arditti, a reporter for the Publix Radio in Rhode Island, has the story. And just a warning to listeners here, this story does contain graphic and disturbing content.
911 is your emergency
person. I have a baby. He's unresponsive and he has throw up around his mouth and nose.
In a medical emergency, every minute can matter and mean the difference between life or death. And that was the case one Friday morning in February of 2018.
Okay, is Deanna's back?
She's throwing up right now. My aunt's
over. Deanna's back.
6-month-old Elijah had gone down for his nap. About 20 minutes later, he was found unconscious. The baby's aunt, Jessica, is talking with 911. We're not using last names at the family's request to protect their privacy.
Is he on his back? Make sure he's not on his back.
Make sure he's on his back.
Not on his back.
He's on his back, but he's turning purple.
Not.
Turning purple is a sign the baby isn't breathing. And every minute without oxygen increases the likelihood of brain damage and death. But 18 seconds into the call, the woman at 911 is still trying to position the baby to prevent choking.
I would say that this particular call is in the top 15 worst calls I've ever heard in my life. Maybe in the top 10.
That's Dr. Jeff Clausen, medical director of the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch in Salt Lake City. He's one of three experts that reviewed the call. Clausen and others say the call is a disturbing example of what's wrong with the way Rhode Island is training its 911 call takers. There are no national training requirements for 911 call takers, and experts say the country is a patchwork of different systems where performance varies widely. But at the urging of groups like the American Heart Association, last year Louisiana, Wisconsin, and Kentucky passed laws requiring 911 call takers and other emergency dispatchers to be trained in telephone CPR. The benefits are well documented. Seattle launched its program in the 1980s. Dr. Mickey Eisenberg is medical director of King County Emergency Medical Services.
And they saw very quickly that they were literally snatching lives from the jaws of death among patients who had cardiac arrest in their homes and in the community.
On average, about 1 in 10 people in the U.S. who go into cardiac arrest outside of a hospital survive. But even in a small state like Rhode Island, experts say, the survival rate could double or triple, potentially saving hundreds more lives a year with earlier CPR. That didn't happen with the baby in Rhode Island. About 1 minute into the call, the baby's aunt, Jessica, asked the woman at 911,
"Do we give him mouth-to-mouth? What do we do?"
Jessica never got a good answer. The 911 call taker, who officials refused to identify, repeatedly asked the baby's age. She gives unhelpful instructions like the ones taught in basic first aid for a baby who is actively choking. And more than 1 minute into the call, she still hasn't figured out if the baby is breathing.
Okay, he's not breathing. Are you sure he's not breathing?
Stop breathing. You're sure he's not breathing?
Because you can't do CPR if he's breathing at all.
She said you can't do CPR if he's breathing at all.
Dr. Peter Antevi says the dispatcher's instructions are just plain wrong. You can do CPR if the baby is breathing. And Tevi is a pediatric emergency medicine physician and medical director for several EMS agencies in South Florida.
When she says we cannot do CPR if the baby's breathing, that's not true. It's if the child or adult is not breathing normally, then you have to move to the next step, which is start CPR.
The call goes on. At 3 minutes and 37 seconds, the woman at 911 finally sounds convinced the baby is not breathing and needs CPR. And she tells this to the family like it's a choice, rather than a life-saving intervention.
Okay, all right, so who's going to give CPR?
Do you want to give him CPR?
The call ends abruptly after 3 minutes and 51 seconds when paramedics arrive. And still, the baby has not received CPR. State public safety officials declined comment on the handling of the call. The lack of good pre-arrival medical instructions from 911 frustrates Jason Umbenhauer. He's a deputy chief of emergency medical services in Rhode Island, and Umbenhauer says his staff are doing everything possible to improve care.
But when it comes to what happens prior to our arrival, unfortunately, it's not in their control. So they a lot of times wish that somebody would tell somebody to do something before we get there.
Dr. Joseph Lauro, an emergency medicine physician in Rhode Island, puts it more bluntly.
It's something that's a relatively easy fix. It's something that's been studied. It's something that happens elsewhere. So why the hell aren't we doing it?
It took just 3 minutes for the fire department to arrive at Barbara's house. She was waiting at her front door, Elijah in her arms. An emergency medical technician whisked him into the ambulance and within a minute began CPR. He had no pulse and was not breathing. At 10:39 a.m., about 20 minutes after arriving at the hospital, Elijah was pronounced dead. The final autopsy report said the baby had been propped on his left side with a bottle in his bassinet. He was later found unresponsive on his back. The report states the cause of death as sudden, unexplained infant death. Doctors who reviewed the case say it's impossible to know whether Elijah would have survived with earlier intervention. But afterwards, everyone had questions. The police, the state child welfare agency, the neighbors who saw the police parked in front of their house. But as for the 911 call, nobody asked about that.
But I specifically remember here, not a single person ever questioned anything about the 911 call, nope. Ever. Nope. I mean, there were a million other questions. No one ever said, you know, what was 911 call like? Did they give you clear instructions? Did they... Nope.
Nope, never asked.
Not once.
Not once. None of them.
For NPR News, I'm Lynn Arditti in Rhode Island.
Lynn's story was reported in partnership with the ProPublica Local Reporting Network. And we should say, since an earlier version of this story aired on the Publix Radio in Rhode Island, the state police superintendent has pledged to conduct a thorough review of procedures and training provided to 911 call takers.